The Lord has many incarnations. But to attract the hearts of the women, the form of Krishna himself, his form, his beauty and his character is most attractive for all the women. The Lord has taken so many incarnations. Lord Sri Ram, Vishnu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the form of Lord Krishna is most attractive for all women. And in other incarnations, women do not even look at him. Some of the other incarnations. And Lord Ram, he was Maryada Purushottam. He would not look at any other women except his wife Sita. And, but the glance of Krishna, where is that woman who would not be attracted to the glance of Krishna? And at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami says, Parikshit Maharaj says, he says that Krishna is so beautiful that those young women who saw Krishna only once, they were not able to keep their minds under control anymore for the rest of their life. Once their eyes reached Krishna's face, once their eyes looked at Krishna's beauty, they never returned. In other words, their eyes would not like to see anything else after that. They did not want to see. So Vanita Roop Shilam. But Vanita means for the class of women. For them, for all women, this observing Krishna's beauty and his character is utsav, is a festival. Shil means nature. Krishna is such that all women must like him. And we have seen in this form Krishna has given so much respect for the class of women. There were 16,100 women, they were captured by this demon. In their own minds, everyone wanted to marry Krishna. And the Lord never rejected them. He married all of them. In this incarnation, in this form. This is a funny thing that in Lord Ram's pastime, one woman, she approached Lord Ram to marry him, this Shurupnakha. Then her nose and ears were cut off. He did not marry her, what to speak of marrying her, her nose and her ears got cut off. Her nose and ears got cut off so that nobody else also can marry her. So such a dangerous form of the Lord, which woman would want to marry? Which woman will become attractive? When we look at the form of Krishna, it should be understood that all the women, their Ishtadev should be Krishna. At least Everyone should have the Krishna should be the Ishtadeva of everyone, especially the women. They should see how nicely Krishna treated all the women, and he should be their Ishtadeva. Rather, he never did like that. There was one woman, she was hunchback. She had a very beautiful face, but on her back she was hunchback in Mathura. She used to grind sandalwood paste for Kansa, Angrag. And she was walking along the path, and Krishna just walked up to her and said, "Who do you belong to? And can you give me some of this angrag, this sandalwood paste?" So she already immediately fell in love with him, and she said, "Why I would not give him?" She was taking it for Kamsa. You can see her sacrifice. She would have lost her life for doing that, but just see her tyag, her sacrifice. And she said, "Yes, I'll give you. Actually, you're the only one who's fit for having my sandalwood paste." And she gave him angrag, sandalwood paste, and Krishna reciprocated with her. He straightened her body. He put his toes on top of her toes, he put his hand on top of her hunch in the back, and one hand under her chin, and he jerked her up and straightened her up, made her very beautiful. And in 1 second, her hunchback disappeared. The Lord did not have any dislike for the woman. He has loved all the women. In the creation, half the creation is women. One should women. The society of women should always be respected. The Shastra says, where the women are respected, demigods live there. Where the women are not respected, their demons live there. This is the meaning. One should respect them. One should see their relationship in this human form. We have so much relationship with women, our mother. We've had more relationship with our mother than father. We were in her womb. She gave birth, gave us milk, and brought us up. And even the language, it's called mother language. Mother tongue. They never say father tongue. When a child learns to talk, he learns from the mother. So in this way, the class of women there is a big place, very high place for the class of women in the Shastra. Therefore, in the scriptures, there is so much pressure in the scriptures to protect the chastity of women. If the women are chaste, you can understand that the human society is successful. In this way, here in about Krishna, it is said, his rupa, his beauty, and his shield, his character, it is very anandit, very a kind of a festival for all the women. This word is very important. One should think about this. We should preach this to the women and say, look, Krishna is very protective of the women. The women should say, men can do whatever they want, but our Lord is Krishna. His form was so beautiful that every woman was attractive. And the form of Narsingha Dev Bhagwan was such that his own wife, Lakshmi Devi, she ran away in fear. She was thinking, I cannot believe, I can't trust him right now, he might eat me.
I don't believe it.
Okay, he's my husband, but right now he's in a different mood. He had very dangerous, very sharp nails, and Lakshmi thought, what if he slaps me one time? I will be killed. She ran away. Brahmaji was sending her forward. Go, Mataji, please pacify your husband. But she could not dare. So the Lord Narsingadev's form is not a festival for the women. But Krishna's form. Where is that living entity who will not become fall in love with Krishna's form? Such amazing beauty. In the scriptures it is described when Krishna used to look at his own reflection in a mirror. He used to keep looking. He is so beautiful that he can't believe looking at himself in the mirror. Who is this beautiful person? He was to stare, look at himself, and even then he wasn't satisfied, so then he came in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To see himself and to do his own bhakti in the bhav of Radharani. So beautiful he is. So rasik, so madhur, sweet. He's beautiful and he is rasik. In other words, his nature and his character is so beautiful. Especially for women. In this hearing this, men should not become discouraged. What is so important that even living entities in the bodies of men, they want to taste Krishna's ras, they accept istri bhav, they accept gopi bhav. This is a very important principle. And when Krishna plays this wonderful song on his flute, and when the wives of the demigods, they hear, they're flying in their airplanes, when they hear his sound of his flute, they're not, and when they catch sight of him and they hear his resonant flute song, they are not able to resist. When Krishna was present, thousands and thousands of airplanes from the heavenly planets used to fly around. They used to see Vrindavan Krishna Leela and they would go away. This was happening every day. Why thousands, hundreds and thousands? These airplanes had this speciality that they could even fit in 1 inch of space. It's not that they needed so much space like the airplanes these days. And they could increase also. One airplane of the demigod could expand so much that it could just take the whole space in all of Vrindavan. And they could become very small also, like less than 1 inch. They would be according to the mind. So in Vrindavan, these airplanes of the demigods used to come with their wives. And sometimes they would come near also, offer obeisances, then they will go away. Every day they would do this. Because actually all the demigods are the devotees of Lord Shri Krishna. So here is explained when the wives of the demigods would see the beautiful form, beauty of Krishna, and they would hear his flute. Because of their love, influence of Cupid, their hearts would be agitated. They would become bewildered, and they would their flowers tied in their hair would fall off, and they would fall unconscious in their husband's lap. When they would see Krishna like this, they would have very strong desire to have Krishna as their husband, and they would fall in their own husband's unconscious, their laps, and the husband would fan them and put water on them, trying to bring them back to consciousness. And the demigods used to become very pleased to see how much love their wives have for Krishna. It is said here. They have fallen in the lap of their husbands, unconscious, and they're saying, Krishna, Krishna. And the husbands are not envious. They're very pleased. But the sakhis are saying, but we are so unfortunate. I wish our husbands were like that. If our husbands see us looking at Krishna like that and faint, they will just pick us up and they'll burn our bodies in the burning ghat. They're so envious. But look at those demigods' wives. They are so fortunate. They love Krishna so much. They must have done so much piety previously that they're able to come and see Krishna like this. That they have husbands that are so such devotees themselves. The husbands, they're bringing them to Vrindavan to see Krishna. They're so fortunate. And they appreciate, they bring their wives to take darshan in their airplanes, and they appreciate so much the devotion of their wives. All glories to those women. They stay on the demigods' wives, they stay in airplanes. They do not put their feet on the ground. This is Venu Geet. Here the sakhis, they're glorifying the good fortune of the demigods' wives, and they're actually they are speaking of their own misfortune. That we are so unfortunate and they are so fortunate. Whether they're deers, female deers, or whether they're demigods' wives, they're all so fortunate.
Krishna prem ka chinh paale par pati prashansa kar rahe hain, sahara de rahe hain.
And all glories to those husbands, they're encouraging, appreciating their wives' devotion. And on the way back home to the heavenly planets, those devis, they become very much depressed that they're going to go away from Krishna, not able to see him. Then their nice husbands, they enthuse them, they encourage them, "My dear Devi, don't worry, we'll come back again soon. We'll come back again very soon tomorrow, don't worry." That kind of airplane is not slow airplanes like ours. In 1 second, it could go millions of miles. It's not our kind of airplane that it has to have that kind of speed and ground and landing, etc. It takes a long time. We get so distressed and anxious because it is not our place to be in the air. We are waiting when it's going to land, when it's going to land. And every day they would come. They did not have to put petrol in their airplanes. It's not that in the middle somewhere they have to transit, fill up gas. The demigods don't have to bother with all that. Till this day, not one drop of gasoline they have needed in their airplanes. Their airplanes, they fly with the power of the mind. There is no machine discovered on earth till this day that will move or work with the power of the mind. Voice activator is there. By the power of the voice, it will work, but not the mind. They have discovered machines that you speak, make some sound, it'll start working. But they have not made any machine till yet that will start working if I tell from my mind for it to start. All these airplanes of the demigods, they work by the power of mind. And they're always in the sky. They never fall off. They are very stable in the air. And they fly with the speed of mind. And therefore they were able to come every day. They would see some leela, some pastime. They bring flowers from their abode in the airplane, and so many times they would shower flowers on Krishna. They would watch him do his pastimes, kill demons, and then they would shower flowers from above. The flowers in the demigods' planets, they're transcendental. They're very amazing scent. Every day they would bring flowers and they would pour flowers. And later on, it is described in the Bhagavatam that Brahma, Shiva, Indra, they come. And many demigods, every day they would come. And if demigods were coming, why wouldn't their wives come? In bhakti, women have as much right as the men. All this is given in the Shastra. Women used to come with the demigods and they would offer their hearts every day, and they would become very saddened when they're going back to their planets, and their husband would pacify them. And they would say, "It's just a night we're going back for, we'll come back in the morning." So now other sakhis are saying, oh my dear sakhi, look, those are demigods, wives, devis, they have so much intelligence, they are so pious, that's why they have taken their birth in the heavenly planets. So what is the, it is not surprising that they are so fortunate. But just see, what about these cows and the calves of Vrindavan? They are so fortunate. Just look at their Krishna Prem. Text 13. The cows, they have their ears upraised like vessels, like cups, and they're drinking the nectar of the flute song that is coming out of Krishna's mouth. They stop grazing. It is a great need for the living entity to eat, but they give up their eating. They stop. People say, I'm eating, don't disturb me. These cows, they would stop eating. And the Vrindavan cows, they're so fortunate that they're eating grass, and as soon as they hear Krishna's flute song, they stop eating and they raise their ears as cups for drinking the nectar that's flowing from Krishna's lips. That nectar drink called Venu Geet, they start to drink from their ears, which they raise to make them look like cups. And they see Krishna with their eyes, and they see that he's playing his flute. And then in their hearts, they embrace Krishna within their hearts. And they lick him. And the same way their children, calves, and the cows, when they're embracing Krishna with their hearts, their eyes are pouring tears. Ashru kala. Their eyes are full of tears. And their children, the calves, they're busy drinking milk. Their mouths are full of milk from their mother's moist nipples. The calves, the little babies, they have their mouths full of milk, and their mouths are upwards. And as soon as they hear Krishna's flute, they don't suck anymore, and they don't swallow the milk that's in their mouth. They just remain like that, frozen. Cow is also listening to Gopi Geet, Krishna's flute and song, and the calves are also listening to Krishna's flute song. The cow's mouth, there is grass, and the baby calf's mouth, there is milk. And they keep it like that. Stop chewing or drinking. Text number 15. About the rivers. The flow of their currents, it is showing the agitated hearts of these rivers. Their hearts are so agitated that the flow of their currents, which is to flow in a direction of the ocean is broken, and the waters are agitated and they're moving about in whirlpools. It is the nature of the river to flow, but when they hear Krishna's flute, when they see Krishna's form, they stop flowing. One Sakhi is saying, look Sakhi, the river was flowing towards her husband, the ocean. Now after achieving Krishna, they are not going towards the ocean anymore. They are devotees. Their own Madhurya Bhav is hidden in this. These rivers who were flowing towards their husbands, the ocean, they stop flowing and they hold on to the lotus feet of Krishna. And they offer him as a gift some lotus flowers. But we are so unfortunate that we are never able to offer him anything. What to speak of offering him? We are not even able to speak his, utter his name. When we chant Krishna's name, the Maha Mantra with love, but the gopis, they were not even allowed to speak Krishna's name. And if they would speak Krishna's name, then their husbands and in-laws, they would be very upset. This is amazing ras of Braj. That in Braj, the gopis could not look at Krishna or they could not speak his name. They were always afraid that somebody might figure it out that they love Krishna, their husband or their mother, father-in-law. But for us, it's the opposite. We want the whole world to know that we love Krishna, whether we love him or not. But it is exactly opposite. In this yug, in this age, it's like that. One who is not a devotee or has no love for Krishna, they want everyone to think that he is a big lover of Krishna. But there they have so many obstacles, they have to hide their feelings. This is the good fortune of the rivers, like the Yamuna River, Manas Ganga River. They stopped flowing towards their husband and they're holding on to the feet of Krishna, and Krishna is accepting them. And they're giving Krishna the offering of lotus flowers. And they want to hold their massage Krishna's feet. All glories to the good fortune of these rivers. Then another Sakhi says, my dear Sakhi, these rivers, Jamuna, Manas, Ganga, they live in Vrindavan. Krishna bathes in them, he drinks their water. He gives water from their rivers to his cows and friends. If they're so fortunate, what is the wonder in that? But just look at the sky, look at those clouds, look at their good fortune. At least these rivers, they live in Vrindavan, but what about these clouds in the sky? They have so much love for Krishna. Just see, text number 16. In the hot sun, when Krishna grazes herds all the animals along with Lord Balaram and the cowherd boys, so wherever the animals go, Krishna has to go behind them, whether it's hot or whatever. It's not that he will just sit under a tree in the shade nicely and the animals can go here and there wherever. The animals are grazing, but he has to go behind the animals. And sometimes the sun is very hot, the full heat of the summer sun. And even then Krishna is playing his flute. Seeing this, the cloud in the sky, he loves Krishna so much, this cloud, immediately he comes and he becomes like an umbrella for his friend Krishna. Ataptra, one who protects from the hot sun. This cloud, he makes his body into a nice umbrella and he comes on top above Krishna. And he drops small droplets of water. My dear Sakhi, those are not water, those are his teardrops. And sometimes he drop flowers on Krishna. Actually, the clouds don't drop flowers, but when the demigods, they drop flowers from the sky, some of the flowers, they remain on top of the clouds. So when the cloud, he moves around, those flowers, they fall on Krishna. So afterwards, when those flowers fall, it seems as if the clouds are showering flowers. With their own body, they protect their friend Krishna from the hot sun. Because the clouds are also Ghanshyam and Krishna is also Ghanshyam. The clouds are Shyam Ghan. Ghan means clouds. So clouds are dark clouds and Krishna is Ghanshyam. Because of this similarity, the clouds, they think Krishna, he is my friend. He's like, color is like me. Wherever Krishna goes in the sun, the cloud would move himself and come again above Krishna. In this way, he would serve Krishna. Sakhi, look at these clouds. They're material clouds. They're just clouds and they have so much love for Krishna. How fortunate are these clouds? Their own body they would put above Krishna to protect him from the sun. The clouds, they tolerate the sun on top of their body, but they give relief to Krishna by giving him shade. How much love they have for Krishna. We have no chance of loving Krishna. We are so unfortunate. What should we do? Should we commit suicide? Our lives are so useless. We have not been able to serve Krishna in any way. All day the gopis were thinking Krishna's feet must be, he must be stepping on thorns, pebbles. Then another Sakhi says, my dear Sakhi, these clouds are in the sky. And the Shyam, these clouds are in friendship with Shyam. But if a friend loves a friend so much, this is not so wonderful. But what is more very wonderful is are these aborigine women that live in Vrindavan. How much they love Krishna. Text number
17.
Now these gopis are speaking and they're very envious and jealous of these aborigine women. This is what it is. Sometimes when Krishna is grazing his cows, sometimes in the middle he will disappear. He gives some indications to the gopis that at this time and this place in Vrindavan, I will be at this place. Or he keeps one, in one form he is with the cowherd boys, and in another form he goes away to meet with the gopis. The gopis, sometimes they would come to the forest, especially Radharani with her sakhis. At that time, Radharani, being able to be with Krishna, she starts to serve him in so many ways. See, Krishna sits on a high asana on top of a rock. And Radharani would sit on the ground and take his lotus feet and massage his feet. She feels very pained that his soft lotus feet must be pricked with so many pebbles and so many thorns. She will put his feet in her lap, most tender, most sweet, his feet. She will put them in his lap and she would massage them. Because on the floor, while she is sitting on the ground and Krishna is sitting high up on a rock, because she always feels that I am the dasi of Krishna. She never says that I am his priya. She always considers herself as a servant of Krishna. In Radharani's bhav, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, at one day, Radharani said to her friends, "O Sakis, Krishna is so tricky. So many times he promises me this, that, and then still he has love for Chandravali. Sometimes he leaves me and goes to other sakhis. We cannot trust him. He makes me suffer so much." Then on this, Lalita, her sakhi, says, "If he is such a rascal, then just leave him. Why you have something to do with him?" On this, Radharani says, no. Ashlishya va padratam.
Ashlishya va. Yadi Krishna mera alingan kare,
whether he embraces me, calls me Priya, or he crushes me with his feet. I will always be at his lotus feet. Padrata means I'll be at his feet. Or he makes me very distressed by never giving me darshan. Or he may, in front of me, while showing me, he may walk around with another gopi. Yatha tatha. Like a lumpat, whatever he does, nobody else can be my lord. My Pranath can never be anybody else. Whatever he does, he is my Priya. Radharani sometimes plans like this. If she finds that Krishna feels some pleasure, some happiness being in the company of some other gopi, then she goes and prays to this gopi, please you be with Krishna, make him happy. I am happy if I know that he is happy. I don't want happiness from him. I want to give him happiness. My happiness is if he is happy. Radharani comes to Vrindavan, and in Nikunja, Krishna is sitting, and she will massage his feet. She massages his feet and she puts his feet on her chest to give him comfort. And sometime on their chest, she has a kumkum. At that time, Krishna's feet, his bottom of his feet become reddish. And when Krishna walks away from there, then from the reddish kumkum from his feet, it comes on top of the grass on his footprints. And it becomes late, Radharani quickly has to walk to her house, and Krishna also goes to herd his cows. So that red kumkum powder that stays on the grass in Vrindavan, then those lusty aborigine girls, they pick up that red kumkum and they put on their foreheads and on their chest. And they feel as if they have met Krishna. They feel as if they are embracing Krishna and their hearts become cooled and pacified. And the Sakhis, they are talking about these aborigine women. They are saying how fortunate these women are. This kumkum that came from the lotus feet of Krishna, these women, the aborigine women, they place this kumkum on their faces and their breast, and they become satisfied. And the gopis say, our life is so unfortunate. These women, these aborigine women, they live in the forest and they get so much of Krishna's association. They're so glorious. Nobody stops them from loving Krishna. The grass of Vrindavan is fortunate, it is touched by the kumkum, and then the aborigine women are so fortunate. Only we are so unfortunate. We never got a chance to get that kumkum and put on our faces and our chest. So these aborigine women of Vrindavan, they're completely satisfied, so happy. There is one very beautiful leela. This, we don't have so much time, so I will just summarize it. These sakhis, they're saying, my dear sakhi, these Vrindavan's aborigine girls, they're conscious living entities. What to speak of them? They're at least conscious, moving, living entities. But look at this Govardhan hill. Look at his good fortune. Actually, of all the servants of the Lord, Govardhan is the best servant. They're saying, he actually does so much service. We never get to do any service. They're talking about Govardhan. Text 18. My dear Sakhis, they're pointing at Govardhan Hill. See, this Parvat, this hill is Haridas Varya. Among the dasas of Hari, he is the best. Why? Because he is always getting the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. And he feels very pramod. He feels jubilant. See, his hairs are standing on end, and out of love, he is always sweating. In Govardhan, there's little waterfalls, they're calling it his sweat, his tears. And for the cows, and the calves, and the cowherd boys, he gives them water. He gives very soft grass. He gives caves to play in, and he gives fruits, flowers, and vegetables. And therefore, Giriraj Govardhan is the topmost of all the servants of Hari. He gives Krishna caves, and in these caves, Krishna plays with his friends. Sometimes he goes in there to rest, and sometimes they play hide and seek in the caves. Gopis are saying that Giriraj Govardhan, he gives them place to play and rest inside his heart. And outside also, He gives them soft grass for the cows, fruits, flowers, vegetables. Everything he gives. In this way, he is the topmost of all the servants of Hari. In the Bhagavatam, there's three places where they have used this word, where this word is used, Haridas. One for Yudhishthira Maharaj, one for Uddhava, and one for Giri Govardhan. Haridas. But for Giriraj Govardhan, he is not called just Haridas. He is called Haridas Varya, the best of. In this way, the gopis are glorifying the good fortune of Govardhan. Now, next one is the last shloka of this Gita. Text
19.
My dear friends, except for us, all the moving and long non-moving living entities are fortunate, except for us. The trees and the rocks, they're all glorious. The humans, they're also fortunate. When Lord Krishna, he walks from forest to forest with his cows and his friends. Niryog Pash. Niryog means the rope. There's a rope to tie the hind legs of the cows while milking them. It's a small rope. Here we do not see, maybe the cows don't need these here. We don't even see cows here. Every house we see a dog, but we do not see any cows. This is Kali Yuga. When Lord Shri Krishna was small, Putana came to kill Krishna. And after Krishna killed Putana, the gopis went up and picked up Krishna and they used cow dung and cow urine to purify Krishna. They made 12 tilaks on his body with cow dung. May Narayan, Govind protect you. May Keshava protect you, like that. The gopis, they were making tilak on Krishna's body with gobar, with cow dung. First, with cow urine, they washed his body. With cow urine and Brajraj, the dust of Vrindavan, they mixed it and they rubbed his body, washed it up with cow urine. And now they put tilak. And then, it is said in the Bhagavatam, then they got the tail of the cow and they're trying to brush off all evil from Krishna's body to protect him. And these days, if a child is in some kind of trouble, if somebody starts to wash him with cow urine and start to get some cow dung and put on his body, and brush the cow's tail on him, we may not even find any. But this dog's tail and stool and urine is available everywhere. In every home, practically. Children have facility to play with dogs, and if they don't have a real dog, they will have a toy dog. So what will happen, how his consciousness will develop, one who grows up playing with dog or toy dog? If you have to play with a doll, then you should keep a doll of a lion, or a horse, or an elephant. This is our culture, that when children we would give them something to play with, we'll give them elephant, horse, cow, like that. Now only dogs. One time I went to a house. Mother Krishna Rakshita's house. We saw her daughter. She has 20 or 25 cats. The dolls of cats. And I said to her, why you have to keep so many dolls of cats, so many cats? Mother said, what to do, if I take it away, she'll cry. So when the child will wake up, she will have cat consciousness. She will only look for her cats. We should not keep in our home things like that. One time we were going in Nairobi to somebody's home program, so I came out of the temple to step inside the car. I saw in the back seat there was a dog on the rear window. I could not understand that it was a toy. The way he was sitting, I quickly got off the car. I thought maybe he'll start licking me or something, so I quickly got out of the car. Everyone was sitting in the car and they said, Maharaj, please sit down. And I could not dare to go in. I got scared and I could not even tell them that I was afraid. I was feeling shy. Meanwhile, one devotee, he had brought a book and he just put it on top of that dog. And the dog didn't move. Then I realized that was just a toy dog. And then I quickly went inside and sat down comfortably. First I had ran out because I thought this dog might lick me on the neck or something. In every home we see a cat, dog, and some homes I saw they were hanging these toy monkeys. If you keep some pictures of Krishna and the deities at home, then the children's consciousness, they will become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, they will become this animal consciousness. In the Bhagavatam, there is a story of Purva Maharaj. And when he was a child, he used to play with real lion cubs. And he used to catch the lions pull their ears. He used to catch them by the ears and drag them. So Krishna, the Supreme Lord, when he comes to this world, he grazes, he takes the cows out for grazing. They carry so many of these small little ropes on their shoulder for milking. It's called Niryog Pash. Pash means ropes for the binding of the rear legs of the cows. Although there is no such naughty cows that will kick him, but still in his leela, in his pastimes, like a cow milking person, he will carry these little ropes. So he can, sometimes there are some naughty cows, so they keep Krishna Balaram keep these small ropes. They don't keep their ropes inside a bag and carry a bag. They would just carry the ropes on their shoulders.